before, so a month ago.
Lydia, how many people do you have on the lab right now? Because I know I got the numbers wrong this morning.
Right. Well, we have 12, but one of those is on a leave of absence. And so we're short in terms of the number of the type of work that we have to do, and even in terms of establishing a working board in order to vote accordingly and so forth. And so this may have to be increased depending on the type of necessity and the degree of participation that other lab members who, again, due to their own work in the community and other work, are unable to fully participate or have been unable to at this time. And some one or two of those may be reconsidering their stay on the lab. May not. They may be able to a lot more time. So there are several variables. But regardless, whether we increase the lab or we add to the lab or we replace people on the lab because of these expired terms and the circumstances I just described, we can always take lab applications. So we actually have a little bit of a waiting list for people who have applied in the past. And the lab application can be found, I believe, already, if not today, certainly by tomorrow, on the KPFK website. Also on localadvisoryboards.org. It should be up there by tomorrow as well. We just had to revise it a little bit in relation to attention, who to send it to, and so forth. And there will be copies at the KPFK reception desk as well. And
Lydia, on that note, I just Maria has just confirmed that the application is on our website.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I want to say thank you to you for participating and being part of this, and want to ask if we're going to start taking listener call-ins from about 5:30. I have some more updates to do with some of the staff here.
Right, I also want to mention, you mentioned that we would be having a program at the local advisory board, and it's because we really have at least an hour's worth of updates. What I mentioned was just a tiny little piece of those who were tuned into the national board meeting last week realized that there were many, many other tasks that were allotted to the lab, and so we have our plate full. There are also things that have been discussed and agreed to when we were up in Berkeley that are imminently about to be released in some memo form, or we're supposed to get some kind of official notification as to the wording on various other structures that we will be involved in. And so there's a lot to relay. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and we have not had the opportunity to meet with the full lab in relation to everything since the national. So I wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, and I look forward to meet with the lab, because I think it's important that we establish relationship and that I have an opportunity to talk to the lab and just give all of you information about what's happening at the station, what we need to address, etc., so that we can work together. I have to, at this point, say thank you to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you if you could just be on standby until
sure.
this program is over. So if there's any questions about the lab, we could get you back on the air.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
This is KPFK 90.7, and we're doing our listener report with several of the staff and myself. I'm the new GM, Eva Georgia. That's kind of awkward, huh, saying that. Look at them laughing. Okay, in the meantime, let's talk to Terry Guy, the Substance Director, and he will give you an update about the latest fund drive that was another incredible success.
Well, thank you, Eva, and thanks to all our listeners and subscribers and everyone who responded during this most recent fund drive, which ended just about, I guess it's going into 5 weeks ago, although it seems like just a few days. And certainly we still have plenty of work that we're dealing with because of that. Many of you regular listeners, if you didn't hear it stated so plainly, probably gathered that it was one of the most successful fund drives in our history in terms of the dollars raised. Thanks to everyone who pledged. There were some 7,300 pledges that we got during that drive for a total dollar amount of over $627,000. And we've had a very good response from you all so far. At least 80% of that has come in. But it is important that you continue if you haven't paid, that we need to hear from you. Many of you know that the postage rates just went up today. And we still have lots of premiums to mail out to you. We wish we had gotten a lot of them in earlier, so we could have gotten them out before the postage rates. But some of our most popular items, such as the Michael Moore books and videos and a number of the other videos, we are still waiting for in huge quantities. So, just bear with us. We will get them mailed out as soon as we can. And again, please do continue to provide your support. If we haven't heard from you on behalf of the fund drive, please do send back your payments, and we will be needing to do additional fundraising. I must say that though it has been a very successful fund drive, we are working ourselves out of tremendous financial backlog. So it's vitally important that you support us at this time.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk just right after this to our business manager, Terrence Chang. To the callers that's online, please be patient. We'll be taking your calls in a little while. Terry, I wanted to, maybe you can respond. I'm putting you on the spot here. We have decided to bring the folio back, and we have one of the longtime listeners that actually agreed to sponsor the first issue. And so people were saying, well, you know, what's the big deal about bringing the folio back? It shouldn't be that expensive. But apparently it is, and apparently the major cost is being taken up by postage. So can you just give like a little bit of background about how much it would cost us to do that folio?
Well, we haven't done a folio in about 7 years at this point. The last issue that came out was in early 1995. And at that time, KPFK was in a pretty severe financial crisis. And regretfully, we stopped publishing the folio. And at that time, the postage cost was the biggest cost associated with it. It wasn't the printing. It wasn't the staffing. Although staffing is an issue, we couldn't get someone to just volunteer to do it. There was a definite time commitment associated with it. But again, we've let that lapse. We do have to go through the application procedure. We had a special permit to mail out at nonprofit second-class rates, I believe, and I think the rate structures have changed since then. But as I mentioned, the postage rates have just gone up, so I'm sure that one has as well. Around that time, I think it probably, and you are putting me on the spot.
I am, and I think that the figures you gave me was for 14,000 subscribers, and that it would cost us $5,000 to do that. Can you tell me how many subscribers we have now?
It's probably over 15,000 at this point, thanks to the generous response of the last fund drive. A ballpark estimate.
So I want to say, and I might be just, you know, living in a dream world right now, but I would like to see the folio come out sometime in late September. I'm hoping that we could have the folio out before the next national board meeting. That would be absolutely great. So if you do... If you're somebody that can work on the folio, I need some volunteers and some help with that. It's labor intensive. So if we can get some help with that, that would be great. You can email me gm@kpfk.org. That's my address, right? gm@kpfk.org. This is Eva to the listeners on the line. We're asking you to be patient. We'll be taking your calls in a few minutes. I'm doing a report to the listener with several of the managers, KPFK 90.7. Let's get an update from Terrence Chang, our business manager, the man with the numbers.
Thank you, Eva. My name's Terrence Chang. I'm the business manager at KPFK Radio, for those of you who don't know me. I want to thank all the listeners for their support. It's made my job quite a bit easier, paying the bills and taking care of the outstanding bills we have acquired from the financial collapse and the move of the finance office. I just would like everybody to know that the current bill, we're pretty much up to date on the current bills that we have, so that's going well. We have paid practically all of the $250,000 or $250,000 worth of outstanding bills we have from the crisis, mainly some of those bills going back to like July 2001, working with a lot of the vendors to cut a lot of the late fees and finance charges that are applied through those. There are small amount of unknown kind of bills still left where vendors will call, and we'll have to find out whether it's been paid through other sources before we had our checkbook, which we did get our checkbook in March of 2002. And that's been very great because we can pay our bills right away without incurring any of these charges now. And we've been pretty much handling the reconciliation of that checking account and running all the deposits and paying all the bills through our checking account for, well, I guess it's June now, for the last 3 months. And that's been a big help. And through our supporters, you the listeners, it's been a pretty much easy job. There's always been funds in there to do that. But since we've been paying that $250,000 of back of bills, that's going to have a little problem with making us get to the end of our fiscal year, to September
30th. Yeah, we're kind of in a dry spell between now and October, right? So, you know, if people want to start writing those checks, they can do it and send it in.
That's true. It'll be tight, but I think we'll be able to get through September 30th. But we'll see. September will be our hard month, and we'll see how it goes then.
And I know that you have done some incredible work, and I have worked with Terrence and Terry and Esther extensively, taking a lot of your time these last few weeks. And I want to say thank you, because I just couldn't have gotten through these last few weeks if people didn't support me in the station, as well as all the staff and programmers. So I want to say thank you to that. We'll be taking calls in the next few minutes. This is KPFK 90.7. The number to call is 818-985-5735. Again, that number, if you have questions, we're doing the listener report right now, 818-985-5735. I'm going to ask Maria to just give us a brief update about where we are with the web streaming and the problems we've been encountering there.
Thanks, Eva. When I first stepped in as the interim webmaster, my priority really was to make sure that we have pertinent information up and posted in a timely manner. Since the fund drive, we've had some problems with the streaming situation, and originally about 100 people can listen simultaneously, and that number has dropped from 100 to 10. So you can imagine why people are having problems listening online. And thanks to volunteers who've sort of stepped up and helped me out in updating the website, I've had the opportunity to spend some time and research what's going on with our streaming situation. We're in the process of renewing our donation with Real Networks so that we can have that 100 listener license. And it looks good. I think they've approved the donation, and I anticipate that sometime this week we should be up to full power with our webcast. So,
and hopefully we'll be up to full power with the transmitter project too. Okay. In the studio with me, this is Eva Georgia, General Manager for KPFK, doing my first listener report. And in the studio with me, Esther Mania, our interim program director, Terry Guy, the subscriptions director, Maria Kim, our interim webmaster, and Terrence Chang, our business director, and a whole lot of other people that's producing and helping out here in the studios. We're going to take a few questions, but in the meantime, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll go to some of the people that's been on the line. Again, the number is 818-985-5735. This is Eva Georgia, and we're doing the report to the listener tonight. Again, I have several of the managers who in with me in the studio, Esther Mania, Terry Guide, Terrence Cheng, and Maria Kim. I'm going to go to the number, that number again, 818-985-5735, and we're going to Paul on line two. Hi, Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Hello. Yes, thank you very much. Same to you.
Thank you.
Okay. The question I have, I think, is a very profound one. As we had a few minutes ago, a description of how generous the listeners have been and how they've done that actually for decades. The station and the network is built on the listeners, one, on their subscriptions, their donations, and two, on the volunteer work that they do. So, in a way, the listeners are really the employers because they pay the money for what happens, for everything, practically.
Absolutely.
Now, that being the case, this is my question. From the very beginning of Pacifica, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK, which was the second station, The listeners have never really had the power to make decisions. They gave the money, they gave the labor, but they could not make any decisions. Even the local board, the LAB, which is an acronym for Local Advisory Board, is advisory only, has no power. So my question is, so far I don't see it happening as in any of the projected plans or committees like the Programming Council. There are only, according to the description in the document that the station has, there are only going to be two listeners on that council. And the rest of it, about 15 to more, will not be there because they are listeners. So, Mike, this is my basic question, and I'm glad to be able to ask you about it.
Okay,
Well, the question is, how in the future will the listeners be given much more decision-making? That's decision-making, not advisory. Decision-making power.
Okay, Paul, there's a lot of callers, and I want to take as many questions as possible. So would it be okay that I take a couple of questions and then you can listen to it and
answer to my question?
The answer to your question, let me just refer you to Esther Mania, but I think one of the things that we're trying to do now is say we want you to be part of the decision-making process. And that's where the collectives come in. The program council, no, we will have more dialogue about the program council, but it will not be two members. That's impossible. But we can talk more about that structure in length and the proposals we have on that. I think Esther wants to add to it.
No, that's basically what I was going to say. Hi, Paul. How's it going? Basically, we are breaking down that structure, and I feel that the listeners are having more say-so as far as programming goes. They are involved with either collectives, or also they're going to be involved with the programming council, which is soon to be developed, and it won't be just strictly on an advisory level. So we are working on that.
Hey, Paul, you're still there? Okay, I think he's off the air, but also to encourage listeners to, you know, send in their proposals. And if you have a problem, it would be good to say, well, this is how decision-making did not happen, and this is how I see it happens now, so that we also don't just get your problem, but also possible solutions to look at.